Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Welcome to Spanish Aquí Presents. It's everybody. It's everybody's hairs.
Got a
it's
full house Ryza, today.
It's Oscar. It's Tony. It's myself.
What is
it's
happening?
Jordan and
Why?
Anita.
Wait, Carlos and Oscar, you're both punchy during the intro and Ryza's dancing. What is happening?
Well, we were just talking about exercise and...
And
we're pumped up. We're pumped up.
I said a story. Should I say it really
quick? Oh my God.
What do you think? You guys tell me. Only if you think I
Ryza,
should.
Ryza, say the story.
Okay. So here's the thing. I was talking about, I don't even remember why this even came up, but I guess point is I was saying I was in the middle of my workout and
Where?
At the gym.
With people around.
With people around, yeah. Okay. And I was doing this metabolic workout.
Ooh,
and then
wait, that sounds fancy.
Metabolic is like, okay, so then I'm one of the only people that does it there right now. It's kind of like, it's for like weight loss, like it's cardio and stuff like that. Everything else is more strength training that I do on the other days. So I do 3 days.
Let's focus strength. on the important
okay, whatever.
Part
of it. I do three days of this. Okay. Well, I don't know. You ask. Whatever.
That's
so
cool.
Okay. So
I'll never know.
Part of the metabolic thing was this: like you get on this bike that is called an assault bike. That is what it is called. I know it's an aggressive term.
It is.
But it's like the bike. If you look it up, it's a bike that like you're while you're pedaling, you also like it's stationary, but you're pedaling and your also arms are going
it's
back
almost
and
like
forth.
You're like, punching.
Yes, kind of, but you're moving the bike handles along with your bike, right?
Yeah.
So I was jumping on the bike, and I think it was like two of us that were like working, doing the same thing.
Well, that's
like
your problem right there, jumping on the bike.
So I jumped. I was saying how I jumped on the bike, and then the bike seat was kind of like higher than it should be for me.
Okay.
And I jumped on it, and it hit me in some part of me that I was like, ooh. And I was like, I kind of like it, but I got to keep working out. So I was just saying.
You activated your core is what they say.
It hit my vagina in some type of way.
Wow. And does this happen? Is this something that happens a lot?
No, I don't know. I usually put the bike seat, like I fix it before, but because we were switching on and off and it was like between 30 seconds, I kind of like didn't think about it and I just jumped on it. And then I was all awkward because in front of one of my trainers and I was like, ooh, ah, but it was kind of like, ow, hey, yes. Okay. It was like a whole like stream of emotions with my face.
Yeah. And then you looked up and the trainer was like, okay.
I don't know if they realized what was happening, but I was just like, I'm too new at this gym. I can't scream out that it hit my vagina just yet. Maybe in a couple months.
Wait. Sure. You can bring it up later. First impressions and all. Well, congratulations. Yeah. I mean, you're going to work out. Might as well make it pleasurable.
I mean,
I've definitely jumped on seats
Oscar
higher
is
than
so
I used to, so I feel you.
No, but, you know, while we're on the topic of getting our socks off, I do want to take this moment to talk about something that I'm obsessed with. Listen, okay, this is a little off topic, but I'm going to say right now, I am a big fan of books, reading hardcover stuff, none of this e-reader stuff.
Oh, because the hardcover, I see where you're going with this.
I didn't even think about it that way. But yes.
Okay.
So
right.
I just want to say, I discovered someone on Instagram, who coincidentally enough is a listener to the podcast.
Okay. Thank you.
Their Instagram handle is Newfound Books PA. Newfound Books PA. And what they do, her name is Clarissa. So, Clarissa, if you're listening to this, hey, girl. But
hi.
What she does
Hola,
is she takes books. Like, I signed up for something called a blind date with a book, and she'll send me a book that she thinks I'd like. And it's like wrapped up, covered, beautifully covered in this like beautiful packaging. She's just like a master of the packaging.
Oh, I love
and,
that. I love
you
packaging.
Read it, and the book that I got is a book that it's actually on my wish list. So, Clarissa, good looking out.
Wow.
So, shout out to Clarissa, Newfound Books, PA. Find it. I'm in love with that whole process. She also does prints. She's an artist. She's absolutely talented. I love her art, and it's so good to see Latinx people just like creating and books. Oh, thank you. So anyway, so just a little plug. I'm not getting any money.
I was about to say, how much money are you getting out of this?
Not a sponsored
post. That was such a nice
But I just need to uplift other Latinx voices. And this
was a perfect opportunity for Oscar to, you know, deviate from the conversation that was making him very uncomfortable.
Well,
so
you know,
it works out.
Riza has working out, which I, you know, truly I cannot relate. But you know what? I can't relate my love of books. So
of sitting on books. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, I look before I leap whenever I jump into a book.
Okay. Oscar, you just gave us a perfect segue to our pica today, because you're talking about books, which is culture, right? But you started it off with, speaking of getting your socks off. So, for today's pica, I wanted to ask all of you. if any of you have any memories of your earliest, let's say, pop culture sexual awakening.
Ooh.
Like, what does that mean? Pop culture sexual awakening.
An image or a person or something that in entertainment or culture that made you realize, I'm attracted to this. Or, should I go first?
Oh, that just hit you.
I think you should. Yeah.
Yeah. Give us an example.
I have an obvious one, or like, let's say traditionally, like, of course. And
Meryl Streep.
I get real hard for Meryl Streep. Okay. Oh my God.
Okay.
In The Devil Wears Prada.
We're not having this conversation.
We're not having a Miranda Priestly moment.
No.
We've run out of those. I also have one that surprises me still to this day. I wonder which I should go with first. I'll go with the obvious one first.
Start with the obvious.
I signed up for the Lucasfilm fan club just so that I could have...
just full stop.
That's it. Anyway.
Oh, period.
No. Yeah.
Just so that I could have a poster of Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom.
Oh, no. Where he's like, because you didn't know stores sell posters.
Oh, he was a babe.
Well, that was how I could have a poster or an image of a shirtless man in my room.
What about Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones made you feel
some
a certain
type of
kind
way.
Of way?
Mm-hmm. I feel like what you just said is a sentence.
That's it, Harrison Ford.
Okay, what Harrison about Ford Harrison and Indiana Ford? Jones.
But
okay.
Not from Star Wars. It was from Indiana Jones.
Star Wars as well, but Indiana Jones for some reason.
It was the tan.
It was the tan. It was the muscle. It was that like,
that,
give
like,
no
sweaty?
Fucks. Yeah, it was all sweaty.
Glistening.
Yeah.
The whip. Did the whip play into it?
Yeah.
The whip. Yeah. Oh.
Does he still do something?
Wait. Tony just had a... What is that? What was that?
I just realized. Yeah, I just had an epiphany. You just made me realize. Yeah, the whip and the sword were both involved.
They were. That was part of it. It was part of it. Do you still feel some type of way for him? Because I literally yesterday, it's funny you said that. Yesterday I saw a video that somebody posted on Instagram where it was like Harrison Ford's reacting to a magician doing a magic trick in his house, and he's like at
not
the
just
end,
a magician, it's David Blaine.
Oh, I don't know, because they didn't show him. They didn't show him in the video. That's the thing. Yeah, so it was like it was
a special he shot a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I watched that special, which is funny, but like I didn't know. Like I figured it was him, but anyways, point is, and in the end, he literally just responds, "Get the hell out of my house." And I was like, I was not expecting that all. And I was like,
But that's totally embarrassing.
Yeah.
That's his brand.
He just, he presented at the Oscars and someone described him like, everywhere Harrison Ford goes, it's clear he doesn't want to be there.
Oh, I think somebody made a joke. I think I heard somebody was like, he just found out that he was going to announce the Oscar like 5 minutes before.
That's so funny. Oh, that's so funny. That's such a vibe for sure.
It's such
for him.
A vibe, which I guess turns me on.
Yeah.
The other one, I swear, I rewatched these movies again to see if they did the same thing to me, and they kind of did.
Oh.
The Back to the Future movies.
Oh.
Not Michael J. Fox.
Biff.
Biff Tanner.
Biff!
Ew.
I see a pattern.
Oh, what? Wait, I didn't even put that together either.
I'm sorry, who's Biff?
What do you mean, who's Biff? Are you kidding?
He's like the bully, the mean guy, the bully.
Mm-hmm. He's joking.
The villain.
You're joking.
I mean,
about
his
Back
name
the
is his name is already like villain, like
yeah.
Just like,
and in the second one, Yeah, he's very good. Yeah. And the second one where he becomes sort of like, I hate to use this adjective, but Trump. Yeah, he's Trumpy in the second one.
In an alternate future, an alternate present after what happens in 1955 changes. And he's like basically in charge of Hill Valley. And that really, really be him being a jerk.
Like there, that was me like in early, what?
Puberty. Did you want him to bully you or what was that? What was it?
No, I thought like I could change him.
Oh.
I love
so a project. Sweet. Oh my God. That's all women.
That's interesting. That's yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. All right.
So you just were interested in characters that just didn't really like, were just like rough around the edges.
Yeah.
I feel like I can. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. How about you, Carlitos?
Well, I think I've mentioned this before, but I think in terms of like how it informed what I like is, and now that it's back, it's the Punky Brewster. I've talked about this before and people are like, what? It's just the same as when I was talking about DuckTales. People were like, what? Until they brought it back and now I could finally talk about it. But Punky Brewster was probably the first like crush that I, Freckles? Huh? And then there was a girl in when I was in like first grade that looked exactly like her. So I was just obviously going to be completely, because that was like Punky Brewster in real life. And that kind of informed, and nothing happened. Cause you know, I was just like after the fact, I was like, you fall in love with people. You fall in love with like,
the character,
like your the character, but like there's something about it. Cause she also a documentary just came out on Hulu, Kid 90. Mm-hmm. And just seeing her again, it does. It's like, it just like come like it, activate something from like that you kind of like put away, because I hadn't really seen her in a while, but it definitely has. And I'm going to say that, and I'm going to say something which I might have mentioned before, but I'm not sure, because it happened in real time a couple years ago. I used to also watch Charles in Charge when I got cable, and I started, that's how I learned English, and I used to watch all these shows on TV, and I think her name is Josie Davis. I might be incorrect, but she was
her name is Scott Baio.
Yeah, that was a different experience,
definitely,
for Tony. Yeah,
yeah.
And it was Nicole Eggert and Josie Davis. I'm gonna say, is it Josie Davis? Yes. And
yes.
And for some reason, I had a crush on her, but not on. And so, and then I saw her randomly at a birthday party.
Oh, she was
in
White Chicks
a couple years ago. And I became flushed. Like I don't usually get starstruck, and I just completely just lost it. She was there, and she was like just friends of somebody, but she was also in real estate. So she started like talking to me and got her to give me a car, but I was real estate. I was like, yeah, I'll buy a house. But it was so weird because I just was not ready to react that way when something that, you know, like so long ago was just something that I watched. So that is the impact of stuff like that. Definitely pop culture has an impact in terms of what you are affected by. So that's really interesting. So I don't know if I'll ever see Suleiman Frye in person. I don't know how that's gonna affect me.
I was gonna say, did you guys like have like posters of these people though, like up in your room and stuff?
No. I didn't have any posters of Charles in Charge.
Well, no, I don't know of her. Like, you can also just pull out from a magazine. Like, that's like, I'm just saying, I don't know.
Different kinds of magazines. Yeah, I get it.
Oscar.
I was going to ask, is that a reflection of the people that you're attracted to today? Do you think, are you attracted to like?
Well, that's really interesting, because you think about Josie Davis and Punky Brewster are like on both ends of the spectrum,
right?
Like in terms of looks, and I think that is true. Like I don't, when people say, "Do I have a type?" I have an appreciation for like blondes and like that. I think that also plays into it. You know what I mean? Like I can't really pin it down, but maybe it's because of all the TV crushes that I had growing up.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm picturing little Carlos in school and the Soleil person walks by and the theme song plays from Punky Brewster. Maybe the world is blind.
Yeah. Like, oh. So we'll see. We don't know.
But you also this was pre-recording, but like you also mentioned Wendy, the niece of Inspector
Penny.
Gadget.
Penny from Inspector Gadget. Yeah.
Oh,
right. So like there is something about like a precocious sort of like someone who speaks their mind, ooh, sort of personality that you might be interested in. Just maybe putting it
yeah
out there.
We're really getting into it. Yeah.
I mean, I'm,
yeah, and also, and she had a whip, so that really did it for me.
Oh, oh, right. Okay. 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 Yeah. All right. All right.
Also, shout out to Cree Summers, who voiced Penny back in the day. She oh was a black woman who voiced a little white girl. So shout out to her. I mean, she go was a black little girl too. So
right on. Also, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, I was also like the age of Penny when I had a crush. Like,
right. Yeah, no, no, no. This it's, okay, it's not weird.
Yeah.
Carlos.
No, it's not weird. Like
we're talking about crushes.
Little.
It's not yeah weird.
Look at that cutie.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at that
cutie. Yeah, she seems like a precocious girl. And also Punky Brewster seems like the same kind of vibe.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's probably in totally the wheelhouse. But the
hyper intelligent, very articulate.
The blondie version.
Yeah.
How many blondes have you dated in real life?
I like, think it's a split, to be honest.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
It's not it's about right the hair down color. It's about the personality, right?
How many yeah of them were precocious?
Yeah.
Well, they're, I don't know.
And how many of them use whips? Carlos's oh face is not having it right now. He's like, all right, next.
Okay, Oscar.
Oscar, tell us who you.
I don't know, actually. I think like the first, my first like crush that I was like, oh, I have feelings for this person, I think, was Thuy Trang, the actress who played Trini the Yellow Ranger in the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
I should have called this, I swear
and
to God.
Yeah. This was definitely oh someone that I like was just like, oh, head over heels in love. I'm like going back. I'm regressing oh to me as being a little kid, just like I'm being like, I want to find somebody like that. Someone who's like soft-spoken, intelligent, very patient, doesn't have to speak all the time, but is like, makes her point mm across, very clear. Like, there was something about her energy that I was like, oh, I feel
you
like
got
she
that
would.
And you got that from watching, like, episodes of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Well, that was the character. You know, I didn't yeah know yeah the, you know, and also RIP to
RIP, yeah,
she
RIP
passed away. But as Trini, she just had all those qualities. And I think also because on the show, I'm talking about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, of course, she was best friends with Billy, David Yost, the Blue Ranger, mm-hmm, who I didn't have a crush on Billy, but I like wanted to be him so bad. Like mm-hmm I saw myself in Billy Cranston, the Blue Ranger, like this nerdy,
yeah,
a very mm-hmm shy oh kid, yeah, like also very soft spoken, very quiet. Like I, yeah, I like the brains of the group. Like I very much saw me in him. And Thuy Trang or Trini, what they were like the dynamic duo. So I think it was this yearning of me to be matched with someone like her. But yeah, honestly, looking back at episodes of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, let's be real, I wanted to bank Jason Narvi, Skull
sure
from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I mean, looking back, I was like, this
but you
man
wanted soft spokenness. Like that was something that was also.
I think, yeah, like I think I was like attracted to that. But not in a, I'm obviously not in a sexual way, more like in a partner. I was like, oh, I really like this sort of quiet energy. But no, that's, oh, that is Austin St. John, the actor that plays Jason. I'm talking about yeah the actor Jason Narvi, who played Skull, the one of the bullies in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
You like him?
He was very hold much on, like see my type now. Like that is probably who I would
oh
date.
Wow.
He was like,
yeah,
a punk,
he
was a punk
edges
kid. He was like yeah rough. He was rude. He was also like the sidekick, which, you know, yeah, as a kid, I have to say I was very much like I was always hanging out with like the bigger kid in school because I was so small. So like I also identified with Skull. But now, I mean, he's looking back at old episodes of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. He can what? Get it. That's it.
Ooh, okay. Yes. Okay.
So what about you, Ryza?
Okay, so I was thinking about it. I know before I was like, I really had to call my mom on the phone because I was like, Mom, who did I have like on my like wall? And she was like, nobody. Because I feel like I always like watch these movies of like people in the 90s and all the girls have like posters all over and of the boys they crushed on. But I guess I didn't really do that. I had like stuff of athletes. Like I was a big yeah Kobe Bryant fan. Hmm. And Allen Iverson. So like I had stuff of them.
It was the 1998 NBA Finals. I was watching the
I did. I really it's yeah, like my best friend was always like, I remember you were like obsessed with Kobe. And I was like, I really was. Like there was like a hard, like a hot moment that I was just like in love with him and like I was just playing basketball and everything was basketball, basketball. And Kobe Bryant is my husband and I'm gonna marry him. And then Brandy went to prom with him and I was like, oh my God, whatever. But before that, like I would say, like my like I did have a huge crush on JTT, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, but who didn't? And I had this full on lie. I told everybody that he was my boyfriend, but that like he's filming all the time in California.
You did that thing.
Yeah, but everybody would do that. Like everybody's like, oh yeah, like it was like one of those things that like so many people would like make up. It was just like but it was more like a bit. Like it was just kind of like me and my like, you know what I mean? Like I'm like, yeah, like whatever. And like we would like, and my friend would be like, oh yeah, he like sent her letters. I saw them. They're in her house. Like bullshit. Like we would all just like everybody knew. Everybody had a famous boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever.
Wait, what about Jonathan Taylor Thomas? Did you think he's attractive? Because I'm looking at him right now. Thank you, Jordan, for showing us pictures. But he looks. He looks vanilla ice cream to me.
I mean, like that's the boys that I saw on TV, though. Remember, like that's what I was watching on TV.
Quintessential '90s kid.
Yeah, the Hanson boys. Like that.
Wow, not Devin Sawa.
I did think he was cute in Casper, but yeah, but like I wasn't ever like really like hardcore with these people. I will say, Freddie Prinze Jr. I have said this before.
Oh my God.
He was my like cool. middle school. It was Freddie Prinze Jr., Kobe Bryant, and then
was it when he made the Summer Catch movie or what?
Oh my God! I know what you did last summer.
No, I don't know what it was. I just had everything.
I know what it was. Look at his face.
Look at him. His bone structure. Are you kidding me? I don't know. I had a crush on him. And I think like if I were to like even like he is definitely the crush, like the like actor crush that if I saw, I wouldn't fangirl, but I would be like, oh my God, like I never thought in my wildest dreams when I was in fourth grade that I would ever meet him. And I think about it and I'm like, yeah, like it's Hollywood. I could bump into him at a restaurant, him and Sarah. And I was never mad that him and Sarah Michelle Gellar got together because I loved Buffy. So it like made me happy. It was weird. I don't know. I really didn't have like a hardcore reason. And then I found out he was half Mexican. I was like, tight. He's Latino. Great. Yeah.
Well, Freddie Prinze was Hungary and Puerto Rican. His dad.
Right.
Was the mom Mexican?
Comedian.
Yeah, comedian Freddie Prinze.
I think so.
Because he used to have that joke. He was Hungarian. Rican.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, then maybe he was Puerto Rican. Sorry. I'm sorry. Maybe he wasn't. But I knew he was half Latino. That's like when I was like, yeah, I know he was half Latino. So, yes. And then Johnny Depp was like, as I got older, it was just him pretty much. But I don't think any of these reflect my dating style or anything at all. But
wait, can we just go round the room here? And just like lay off your celebrity crushes, because I think I know them, but I'm not totally sure.
Right now?
Yeah. What's your current celebrity crush? Because I want to compare what our childhood crushes were to our adult selves.
I don't know. You know who was a big crush of mine, and I didn't bring it up in the movie side of Jennifer Connelly, which I've talked about before.
You've talked about her. I was going to say you have brought her up.
So you see the Rocketeer hole and shit. Yeah. Woo!
Oh, in the Rocketeer specifically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why I was like, who is this person?
I like the Rocketeer. I mean, we could date the co-stars of different.
But was that movie where she's in a Opportunity Knocks or the one where she's in a supermarket? We've had this conversation before.
Yeah, we I remember talking about this on the podcast.
Supermarket or Labyrinth?
That's the one.
Yeah.
She's a babe.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
okay.
No.
Wow. A mega babe, I'll say.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Career opportunities. But anyway, in the present, I don't even know, to be honest. I got to think about that.
Like, okay, if you could pick your leading lady, let's say you all got booked, or man, obviously, but if you could pick one person, like right now, they're like, okay, you're the lead. Carlitos, you're the lead. Oscar, you're the lead. Tony, I'm the lead. Whatever. We're going to just send an offer to whoever the fuck you want. We have all the money in the world. Like, that they will make it possible that they won't be able to say no. Great. Like, who is that person?
That's a good question.
I don't know. Freddie Prinze Jr.?
Okay. All right.
You do an animation project with him?
Yeah. That's the scenario? Yeah.
I was asked this recently, and I'll just say Michael B. Jordan.
Oh yeah.
That was a first person Daniel Kalu. I mean, I'm like, I have crushes on both of them. Like, and I don't know if it's I mean, they're both so hot, but also like they're both so talented that makes them even hotter. Mm-hmm. Where I'm just like, I don't know either of them. There's so many amazing, attractive, talented, and funny actors, but
Interesting.
Yeah. Nobody else that you don't have. Who? What about you, Oscar? You wouldn't have.
I mean, I do have a lot of celebrity crushes, obviously, but my number one, and my number one is David Schwimmer of all time. Like, yeah. He's the one. But leading man, I would say, okay, here's one. I would probably get Winston Duke for sure.
Who is that?
Oh my God, y'all. No.
Jordan, fire it up.
Jordan, yeah, sorry. Also, by the way, listeners, Jordan has been pulling up everybody that we throw on the screen.
Oh, from Get Out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
From us.
In us, like, ooh. My Black God, Panther? Winston Duke. Mm-hmm. Ooh. I can't even say that name without swooning.
Yeah.
Look at him. Look at him. Just take a moment.
I'm here for it.
Can you do Winston Duke, us? Because, like, that's it. That's my one and only. That's it. That's my forever. That's wifey right there.
He does look hot, like, dressed down like that. Like, I like
with glasses. It's like, he just seems so kind.
Okay, so Winston, you picked Freddie Prinze Jr. I picked Michael B. Jordan.
I'm gonna put Pedro Pascal.
Oh yeah, okay.
It's a throuple romance.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right, I feel that. Opening what about doors, you, Carlitos? Like, you gotta throw someone out.
Man, I am drawing a blank. I don't even know. That's
okay. You have to say, or you're gonna get Roseanne Barr as your default.
Oh no! Sorry, Carlos. Sorry. It doesn't matter.
Oh no!
Hey, honey, I'm home.
Look, we won't judge you if it's another screen.
Is that Roseanne Barr?
I'm sorry, Tony, can you do a Roseanne Barr impression, please?
Oh, say, can you think?
Oh my God.
We're buying you time, Carlitos.
Yeah.
You know when you go blank and then you know that there's a ticking time clock?
Yeah.
I'll come back.
She's signing the paperwork right now, Carlos.
You have to.
She's signing the paperwork. It's going to be official.
I'm sure I'm going to think of somebody else after we finish the recording, but just there's so many cool people, but it doesn't even have to be just talent and it doesn't have to be just looks. It could be like a mix or just someone that you're like.
Soleil Moon Frye, present day.
I think I can't think of anybody right now, but for a long time I really wanted to work with I was like determined to want to work with what's her name from I'm totally blanked out from Birdman from oh my God, I'm blanking out. She did Spider-Man.
Emma Stone?
When she had like that streak where she was killing and I was like, I would love Well, we're talking about talent. I was like, I can't think of anything right now, to be honest, but like she was killing it and she was doing a bunch of like comedies. And I met her when she did the House Bunny when I was at MTV and we got to do, I did a sketch with all of them. And so that was the closest I got to working with her. But that was around the time, this was like a long time ago when she was just like killing it. She was doing a bunch of.
I love her. Yeah. I love her. I love her voice. I love her.
Yeah.
She's a great choice. I agree.
But right now, to be honest, I can't think of any, I want to. And this is going to, you know what? The rest
it's
of the
gonna
day is, I'm going to spend. Yeah, and I'll get back to you.
Okay, but send it on the thread.
I'll send it on the thread.
So are we releasing Roseanne Barr? Or
no, put her on hold. She's still on hold.
She's on hold.
But we'll never tell her she's released.
No. And she can't work forever. Until
she'll get paid, but she won't get residuals. You know
I see. I see.
All right. Well, very interesting. I feel like it's interesting to have these conversations with some people sometimes because you can see like, oh, like they had a crush on these people and then they're dating this person. Like when that kind of like lines up, it's very interesting. But
yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you think about, do they love me or are they just, I'm the fetish of the thing.
Oh,
that that's another pika for another time.
Yeah.
Ooh, pika pika. So I guess we gotta go quench our thirst.
Okay. What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that this pika got all of you guys so thirsty, you need a cafecito.
You did it! Raisa did the transition!
Mean, I did it. It was so organic and not pushed on at all. Dale.
Like an assault bike?
Oh!
I'm gonna talk about my vagina to you guys way more now.
Cool.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. so we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
Human nature can get a little messy, but nature is powerful enough to save us from ourselves. Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent lifts away tough stains with a 97% bio-based formula. For when you think whipping up yellow curry chicken in white pants is a great idea, totally not speaking from experience. Let nature do its thing, so you can feel confident doing yours. That's the power of Seventh Generation. Find Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent in fresh lavender and other scents at seventhgeneration.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we are back, slurpity slurp, on our cappuccino break. And we are nice and hydrated, caffeinated, and we are introducing our guest. Oh boy. I mean, oh, the love of my literal life. She is, I mean, I say this a lot. I will admit, I do say this about a number of guests that come, but this time, truer words were never said when I say she has one of the nicest souls I have ever met in my entire life. Comedian, activist, just an icon. It's Jenny Yeh!
Oh my God! Yeah. Oh my God, wow. Oscar, wow. I have never gotten that kind of an intro. I don't think this is it for me. That
Listen,
was it.
I've told you many times how I feel about you, okay? Aww. And my love for you runs deep, Jenny.
I mean, the feeling's mutual, because I have to say, I first encountered Oscar when Oscar was a like workout improv teacher for our little group back in the day. Ooh. And I was like, oh my God, I love Oscar. But then, you know, you don't try to be like, ooh, I want to be friends with my improv teacher. But you're just like, hey.
Yeah. But you were hoping so that something would spark.
Because you belonged in a big ass group and there were a lot of awesome, funny people. But the moment I saw you, I was like, this person, I love this person. I want to be friends with this person. But likewise, I'm like, I'm the teacher. I shouldn't be like, hey, do you want to hang out after I coach you? Like, how weird is that? But
we've
kept in touch and it was incredible. Jenny, how the heck are you?
Oh my goodness. You know, we are over a year into the pandemic and I am just reevaluating life. You know what I mean? I'm actually really curious about how everyone else is doing, because not going to lie, I like did pretty well during the pandemic. It's fucked up. I'm just going to say it's fucked up. Like, I feel like survivor's guilt. Do you know what I'm saying?
Don't.
Yeah. A little bit.
Don't though, because I was going to be like, that was going to be something I was going to say. I was like, you kind of crushed the pandemic. like legit throughout. I mean, it's beautiful.
Just don't ever title anything Crushing the Pandemic. Just that probably is where you draw the line. To my new show, Crushing the Pandemic.
Crushing the Pandemic, where I talk about all the fabulous things that happened to me, you know? So whenever you're ready, tell us about those triumphs.
Oh, the pandemic. Yeah. I know. No, I feel like a jerk. You know what I mean? You feel like a jerk that you live through the pandemic. I'm fully vaccinated now. You know, I met a boyfriend during the pandemic. Whoa. What are you doing? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How? Tell us a story.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I just, it was that first month where I was like depressed like everyone.
Yeah. Mm.
And then I went back and I was like, I'm not going to let this pandemic beat me down. I had goals at the beginning of 2020. And one of those was like, I'm going to find my husband. Literally. I was like, I didn't know I would ever become a I'm going to find my husband kind of girl. And then I became the I'm going to find my husband kind of girl.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
In January.
Just needed the world to stop so that you could actually find him.
Thank you. I needed time.
You're like, okay, we're going to need, just follow my lead. Okay, cool. What's going to happen? Oh, shit.
Maybe, right? Like all the molecules slow down and it's like whatever you wanted to manifest, possibly it was more powerful. Who knows? I don't know. I'm not into astrology, but maybe I should be. But like, yeah, like, so I like got up on the online apps and, you know, he messaged me and he actually had complete sentences that were interesting. Wow. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Not like, hey, not like a hey. Like, you know, like
needle in a haystack.
I've had a friend send a screenshot of like an interaction on an app where literally they went back and forth, hey, 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 like six times over the course of a month.
What?
Like, why? Anyway, that's what happened.
Yeah,
that's I met him on an app and we did Zoom hangs for a month.
Nice.
It was very old school. It was almost like pre-colonial, just straight up like mm-hmm. writing letters yes. and sending yeah. pigeon carriers, yes. you know what I'm saying? Just like, dear.
By the candlelight, right?
Yeah, dear Jebediah.
And you had nothing but time. You had nothing but time to talk to them.
Exactly. I'm so brainwashed by Hollywood that I thought I was a white
listen, it's canon.
Victorian woman.
Writing letters is a Caucasian activity. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. But anyway,
Jen,
so yeah.
I did want to ask you because like you are a stand-up comedian and you were mm-hmm. very active in the stand-up circuit. The pandemic must have hit you really hard. So talk about that change, that sudden transition from like touring, doing shows, and then all of a sudden not have to do it. And then the magic of Jenny Yang, my friends, is that she figured out a way to do stand-up with this amazing show that you created. Can you talk about
that? Oh, my God. I need Oscar to be my hype for everything. Thank you. Yeah, like, you know, unlike some other folks who are like mostly touring at the clubs and all that, I was sort of in LA, you know, trying to hit up the spots and working on my next whatever few minutes of stand-up. And then when the pandemic shut down, it was like, oh my God, shut everything down. I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Because I was like March 19th, I was going to launch a new monthly variety show, fun of the wellness industry. I had sold most of the tickets.
Oh
it
God.
Was like, yeah, it was called Everything's Fine, a competitive self-care comedy show. I was going to make people on stage, like meditate and we were going to judge them. Like it was just straight up. It was just going to be
the Thursday after
Clown Town.
The lockdown.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so it was heartbreaking because I was I was just working so hard on other people's things. I was finally like, okay, I'm going to like make my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the pandemic happened, I was like, oh, this sucks. But luckily, that's the thing. I had a cushion because I was writing for a TV show. And so I don't think a lot of other comedians had that necessarily, know? And so, or, you know, actors even, right? Where it's like all the production shut down. No one knew what was going to happen. So I felt very lucky that I still had a source of income, even though creatively to be able to perform and to kind of test out ideas, I didn't have that opportunity anymore. And so I like just, you know, I don't know, ate a lot of bread and pasta and then for like a month and then, and then figured out that the way to actually hang out with friends was through a video game called Animal Crossing, which everyone was starting to play. Animal Crossing New Horizons. You could have people virtually visit your island. It's like Sims, but with cute Japanese characters. And you know what I'm saying? And like, I like played it obsessively, like straight up where like, I don't want to remember the world. I was just like in that world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like every day I was like, this is what gets me up in the morning. Like no joke, you know?
This is like World of Warcraft. Basically,
did you get into World of Warcraft?
No, but I had friends who would literally like got to a point where it was like just vampire hours. They would just keep going till 4, 5, 6 in the morning. They would sleep for 3 hours and get back on it.
That's a video game or a board game?
That's a computer game.
Mom.
I'm sorry. I'm going to be, I mean, everybody, whoever listens to this podcast knows I'm the worst at like gaming and stuff.
It's a game, but originally it was more computer. It was like, I don't think it ever crossed over successfully, but it was mostly played in the computer. And it was like, this is probably one of the first games that was like,
World of Warcraft didn't cross over successfully?
I feel like people play more on computer. I mean, crossover.
It's an exclusive PC game, but it was major.
Oh, okay. Oh, watch it. Oh, okay.
The nerd.
Crossover to a gaming console.
Y'all, the geek jumped out.
Let me come correct because that's
listen, you've, this is it. This is my sweet
nerd
spot.
Battles right now. Everyone's just, this is just going to become a nerd battle. I don't know what's
sorry.
But I lost already.
I don't know what's happening. Abuela has a question. It was never a board game.
No, not once.
Okay.
No, you're thinking of Dungeons and Dragons.
Thank you, Tony.
That is exactly what I'm thinking.
You.
You're right.
I need somebody at least close to my level.
Tony. We're all like in this Venn diagram where we help each other out.
Yeah. But with Animal Crossing, it was sort of like a slice of life, like gaming, where you just take care of your little island.
Yeah.
And it's this thing where it was like the whole world shut down. You couldn't go outside. So like everyone just like went in this video game world and connected with each other. I mean, I remember buying Animal Crossing like right when the pandemic happened, and like that's where I lived. I just
really
lived in an Animal Crossing world.
If you do stand up, you should do my show.
Oh my God,
because
terrifying.
I turned it into a stand up show. Because you can do craft. Yeah, you can craft and you can buy furniture items and like build out your living room and shit. And I was like, I was looking at the inventory and I was like, there's an amp, there's a cute little microphone, there's like a brick wall wallpaper. I was like, you guys, I'm gonna make a comedy club in my Animal Crossing house basement.
That's wild.
That's,
you know,
so wild.
And let's see how we could figure out a way to like make this into a show. And so I did. And so I think the first show was like the beginning of June. I kind of figured it out during May how to do it. And it was a perfect timing, because also that was when, you know, George Floyd Jr. was murdered and everyone was trying to do something. And I other than feeling helpless at home and possibly going in the streets when we didn't even know if we were going to transmit coronavirus to each other, if everything felt scary. And so it was like a way for me to be like, okay, I'm just going to find my tiny little way to raise money for Black Lives Matter causes. And that's what we did twice a month. Like, it was so hype. It was like, why is this so fun and exciting? Like, because we had the biggest Zoom meeting. People were unmuted. There was no moderation. It was straight up like a real room where, like, if you're in the audience, you have like a social contract with audience members to not talk while you're performing. You know what I mean? To laugh, to like interact if they really needed to. And it was seriously, the response to that experience of even just audience members was so overwhelming, of just DMs just being like, man, I didn't know that I really needed this. Like, this is the closest thing I can get to like a social setting in a group, you know? And so it just made me really happy. And like, and we kept it really gentle and fun, because the game itself is very cute and gentle. And so, like, you know, like at the end of a Zoom meeting, I think it's kind of violent how it just ends. Like, we're just like, oh my God, okay, bye.
Yeah.
You know, and
there's always those last
whoever's
two.
The first one, whoever is the owner of the thing, when they log off, then everything just shuts down.
It's like, okay. And then it's gone, right? And so what I do is at the end of the show, I like be like, okay, that's the end of the show, but like, we're going to go to the green room next door with the little characters representing the comics and go chat about how did it go for you? Like, it's just very, very nice. It's just, we just chat. How was the show? What was it like being puppeteered by someone if they didn't have Animal Crossing, you know? And then after that, we take a group selfie in the comedy club. And then even after that, I go, okay, the show's over, you can leave, but I'm just going to go around and like do some stuff on my island if you want to see. And then we just kind of like chill. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just turns into like a Twitch. It turns into like a Twitch game hang.
That's what I was going
to
say.
You should take it to Minecraft too. Have you ever thought of doing some comedy club in Minecraft?
Wait, what? Stop it.
Yeah.
What?
Abuela's back.
Minecraft.
Is that the one with the little bombs and you had to hit the number in the computer? No, that's Minesweeper.
Esto es muy agresivo, okay?
No entiendo. Okay. Minesweeper, sí. Minesweeper.
Minesweeper es muy agresivo, coño. Jenny, we told you before, this was going to be half in English and half in Spanish.
I love it.
You have some Spanish that you would like to unload.
No, I mean, just in context, you know, I'm not going to give you a presentation, you know what I'm saying?
I was actually going to,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, actually going to say your pronunciation is very well, because I have recently seen your story that you are getting your kitchen renovated, and you were literally saying the names of the people that were working there, and you were like, Eduardo, and you said somebody, and I was like, okay, Jenny, yay, okay. All right. Girl, you got that pronunciation on point. And like, it wasn't like, you know, like when people try to pronounce names sometimes and it's like,
Eduardo.
They're like, and this is Eduardo.
Like,
it was just very normal, clean, fresh. And I was like, oh, thank God. Great.
Effortless. Love this. It was
effortless.
Aww, also, thank you.
But also, BT Dubs, your kitchen looks amazing. Like,
thank you.
That pantry, I was like, oh my God. It's so like, I'm really into kitchens lately. And when so many people have been renovating. So since you are renovating, how has that been going? Like, you were talking about how, like, you've been working and you're renovating, and that's a wild thing to do, especially in the middle of a pandemic, because everything is in your home.
I know, this is what's fucked up. I'm telling you right now. Okay, no Jenny's one should be listening winning. To me.
Okay, Emic. All right. I need to hang out with you and get some of that energia, okay?
listen. I'm becoming the most unrelatable comedian now. This is just trash.
So I bought a home during the pandemic.
I know.
Got a boyfriend. I'm really happy.
right?
That's my time.
Changed the face of stand-up comedy. Yeah.
No, but
don't you hate it when you're buying a house in the middle of a pandemic?
And I also pronounce everybody's name correctly.
I deserve this. I deserve this. Keep going. Please roast me. Please take me down 5 pence.
No, we're celebrating you.
No, yeah. No. But to be fair, you do deserve this. You are like you're very important voice and person that we need to have in this community, because there's so much stigma within like the fact of like, oh, like entertainers, they shouldn't have opinions on politics and like other stuff. Yeah. And it's like, no, we're also like fucking humans, and we like things affect us as well.
Yes.
Like, even if you did just buy a house, like whether you're like broke and can't pay your rent or you bought a house, like things still affect you. It doesn't matter, especially, you know, being a woman of color, being an Asian woman.
Yeah.
Like the world has been really fucking terrible, not just this past year, but like forever.
Yeah.
You know what
this
I
is
mean?
What I've said this before, Jenny, and don't feel bad, because here's the thing.
Yeah.
I personally have had shittier years that had nothing to do with pandemic. So it evens out. So the fact that you had a really good pandemic, you've also had shittier and shit.
Yeah,
and so like, you know, it's just, you just did your pandemic stuff before. You pre-pandemic. That's fine.
Thank you. Thank you for making me feel better.
And also to make you feel even more better, here's what I'll say about you. I think a big thing that I experienced during the beginnings of the pandemic was this sense of being paralyzed by the world. It just felt like we were in this really bizarre stage where things were happening to us and that we weren't doing things to the world. And what you've proven to me, like this is why I admire you so much, Jenny, is because you absorbed what the world was going through and you reacted to it, right? Mm-hmm. You commented on it. You created a space where you created that joy for people, you know, instead of letting the world defeat you, you showed that there are ways to handle it in a safe and positive. And I need to make this as clear as possible. Positive. The vibes were so great. Aww, it wasn't like it was a collective anger towards the world. You were like, okay, we are all angry at the world right now, and we totally should be. But like, let's just take this opportunity to heal together by having an open forum and communication. Also, the way that you've attached comedy, your stand-up comedy, to political causes is honestly like goals for me. You know what I mean? Like,
because
you were one of the very first people when where people were like so fucking insane about the pandemic being like an Asian virus, where you spoke out about that and you like, encouraged a lot of people to order from Asian owned restaurants. And I remember that very, very fondly, you know? So like, you were just so community driven. Where does that drive come from for you?
Well, you know, thank you for that. I think, you know, I'm very proud of how I've been able to, all of that you just described is honestly comes from a very selfish place of me surviving. You know what I mean? Of like, I need to tap into like a more positive space, or else I will kill someone. I will sock somebody. You know what I mean? I will shank a bitch. You know what I mean? Like is how it felt.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, it's just like how I practice hope and cultivate it. And, but it comes from the fact that my original calling in my head as a child was to work in politics. So prior to comedy, my first career, now I've actually worked longer in comedy than in my first career. But for a while, that was it. That was like, I was a student government nerd in high school. Okay. I was just straight up like the annoying straight A student. I was just like fucking Tracy Flick from Election. Just, just, you know, I'm every Reese Witherspoon character of the 90s and 2000s. You know what I'm saying? And so I went to college and I was like, leadership, it's great. But when I went to college, that's when I realized, oh, what is leadership for? It's not an end in of itself. It's not just to get power. It's a set of tools. And so I realized I had these leadership skills to communicate and to bring people together. But it was now, oh shit. Okay. I have an awareness about the world. I can never go back. I know that there's oppression. I know that there's, you know, intersectional issues of everything, you know? I realized how much the dynamic of my parents' household, you know, like my mom and dad's relationship affected me when it comes to like gender relations and like what I perceive to be, you know, what the right thing to be as a woman versus a man. And my mom was a garment worker and like seeing the world according to class and all of it, you know? And so it was a foregone conclusion for me to major in poli sci and policy. And I was a very active student in college. Like I was out there, you know what I'm saying?
And where did you go to school?
Swarthmore College. Where's yeah. That? It's outside of Philadelphia. It's a very nerdy, small liberal arts college that no one knew about. Yeah. But it's very, very nerdy. And I liked it because my high school is very big public high school in Southern California, where like it was like non-white majority. You know what I mean? It was like I didn't want to be white. I just like thought it was cool to be what I was. And then I went to Swarthmore and it was, you know, majority white, very like old money type kind of vibes. And I was like, oh shit, that's racism. And then, yeah. You know what I mean?
So that's what that is.
Yeah. And so that activated me. And so from then on, it was like a foregone conclusion. I'm gonna work in the labor movement. So that's what I ended up doing. I worked for the Service Employees International Union, Local 721. Like we represented 85,000 public employees. So like your beachcombers, your janitors, your nurses at the county hospitals. So yeah, I was hardcore. I was heavy. I gave a good chunk of my, you know, good fucking 20s. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Just red cheek 20s.
Yeah. I love the labor movement. The karma is coming back to you. Like, just literally.
Yeah.
And that's why you own a home and have a boyfriend during the pandemic.
It's hard. It's like what you were saying. Look, like, yeah, it's hard. Even if it wasn't the pandemic, even like as a person of color, like it's always weird. Like I feel like so many of like my POC friends, whenever they book some, it's just like such a surprise. And like, we're so grateful and we want to pray to God or whoever, you know what I mean? Or whatever that, like, it's just like, there's so much that like, it feels so much heavier than like, sometimes like I ask some of my, like, I'm like, and it's like, it's so chill. They're like, yeah, like what? And I'm like, oh my God, I would like, I don't know. I just feel like the pressure is so much harder for us. And like, it's so nice to see so many POC that did thrive in a pandemic. Like it was genuinely like it wasn't like, I don't know. Like I had no bitterness towards it at least. Cause I'm like, well, if someone's going to do it, I'd rather it be someone that I fucking love. That is like BIPOC, like at least, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think number one, two things that come out of what you just said. Number one, I think we're at a point, I think as a collective, you know, we're all part of this sort of entertainment community, comedy community, POC comedy community. And like, I think we're at a point where I feel like we need to stop apologizing for existing, number one, and not always play the like, oh God, I'm so grateful just to be here. You know what I'm saying? Because I felt that, I feel like that's like our default for the most part.
Yeah. Right.
Just through existence, like as an immigrant myself.
Healthy
period.
Entitlement.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I would say so. And I feel like I've felt that shift. And I feel like that's going to be healthy. We're going to have to, you know, figure that out as a community, but like healthy entitlement, that's a really good way to put it, you know, to really like be valued for who we are. And I feel like that's like, I'm excited about that because I feel like because I had this other career, honestly, I came in this like, yo, all of this is gravy. Like even just 5 years ago when I was still just like maybe 4 years into like doing comedy, people were straight up like, ooh, what do you want to be doing in 5 years? I was like, fool, I am doing it now. Like I'm making a living from comedy. I'm producing my own shows. I mean, it was fucking hectic as hell. I produced my own comedy tour and comedy festivals, like straight up. It was a lot of hard work, but I was doing it, you know? And so, you know, to me, that's why I feel like, you know, whenever people are like, oh, Jenny, like how do you do what you do? It's like, well, number one, I came from a background where it's more about organizing and not about a market. Like to me, when I organized a stand-up comedy tour, it was like, how do I organize Asian American audiences to come to my shows? You know what I'm saying? It's not like, how do I market to find my whatever target, whatever, you know? I don't think of it that way. When we put together the Comedy Festival to bring up together all the different Asian American comedians who identified that way and who did improv and sketch and whatever, to me, that was like, okay, I'm organizing my fellow comedians, you know, so we could feel more empowered. Right. You know what I'm saying? And so anyways, that's how I see things. And that's why I feel like, to me, it's my natural orientation is like, how do I be of service? Because to me, that gets me out of my own head. You know what I'm saying? Like, because sometimes as artists or creatives, we're just like, oh my God, okay, what's my voice? You know what I mean? Yes. And then it's like, who am I? And then, but what's really helpful, I find, is that when I take my ego out of it by saying, what am I serving that's bigger than me that I think can help others as well? Mm. It's much more a direct solution. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
I love the thing you said about the 5-year thing, because I understand where that comes from, which is like, if you have ambition for a career, but also there's an implicit bias that you're not happy where you are right now. And the fact that you said that makes a lot of sense because I always felt like I've always had issues with where do you see yourself in 5 years, and you've just crystallized it perfectly. So thank you for that. I'm going to keep that and put it in my pocket for later when next time I get asked.
Right. Or else you just what? You only focus on what you don't have.
Yeah. And you're always focusing on the 5-year or like trying to.
Yes.
Well, it's like. I was just gonna say, it's like those memes sometimes that you see, and it's like, remember where you were 5 years ago? You wanted to be where you're at. Yeah. So it's kind of like, and it's like, I read that shit sometimes and I'm like, fuck, like, you're right. Like, okay, fine. 5 years, like, you know, like, okay, fine. Like, I'm fucking like, whatever it is, maybe I had a bad audition or I just found out somebody booked something that I wanted or whatever the fuck that it was, you know, at that moment. And then like, yeah, like 5 years ago, I wasn't even going into that room or whatever that is. I didn't have a podcast or whatever that is, you know? So I feel like what you just said is so like similar to that feeling. Like, like, you're right.
I think it's human. It's human to be affected by the world and by things that happen in our lives. You know, it'll affect our moods, but I think the challenge is to not let it affect who we are. You know what I'm saying?
Like, your self-worth.
Your self-worth. Yeah. That's like, listen, y'all, if this shit doesn't work out, I'm about to be a lifestyle influencer. You know what I mean? I'm not even joking. I'm out here. I'm going to be making cooking videos with my new dope kitchen. Like, we're going to be trying to add value to people's lives.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I'll watch it. I'll be watching the kitchen too, though. It's so pretty.
Exactly. Wait, so I want to rewind a little bit. So you were headed for a career in politics. When did that transition to comedy take place?
Well, I would say it was around like 20. I would say it was like 2010 that I was like, yo, fuck this bullshit. I'm like, I'm a director at this big multimillion dollar labor union.
Wow.
Right. There was a bunch of us in our 20s and early 30s who became directors, just killing it, just like fucking running shit. And I was like, I'm dope. You know what I'm saying? I'm making good money and I'm dope. But I hated my job. I fucking hated life. I like didn't look up to the people that were like our chief of staff or our executive, you know, director. I was like, these are like sad fucking people who don't care about the world. I wanted to be more creative. Little known fact, I used to be a poet around town. I used to be a fucking performing poet in Los Angeles.
You would just do the thing where like people would, you could write a poem for people in front of them or what?
No.
Like on a typewriter?
You mean like a solo improv show?
like on Venice Beach, like the guy that has like a cat on his shoulder. And I've seen those people. I know you're
I'm not above busking. Listen, I thought about it. When I committed to doing comedy, I did say to myself, I'm willing to eat rice and beans forever and I'm willing to busk.
It's a bad thing.
No, it's not, but it is inexpensive. You know what I'm saying? I remember literally looking at all the prices of food being like, this is mentally, I'm willing to move back in my parents' house. Like I had to do that emotionally to commit, but I wanted to punch people in the face. I was burning out. And I remembered, you know what, Jenny? I never let people call me a writer. Never let people call me a poet, even though I would perform regularly during the month, you know, around town in LA. And then finally, I was like, one day I had this like, come to fucking artistic Jesus moment, or whatever your God is. And I was like crying. I was like, this is who I am. I can't go back. I like called my friend who's the poet who runs the space in Little Tokyo that I was a part of. Like it was like a group of Asian American artists. I was able to perform at that space as a home space. Tracy Kato Kiriyama, she was like my fairy god sister in art. And I like called her. It was 11 p.m. She's like this bitch who will like slam four espressos at midnight and write poetry till the morning. Like this fucking artist bitch. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, I called her. I was like, Tracy, I need to see you. It's like 11:30 p.m. on a fucking Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? And she's like, she just didn't say a word. She's like, okay, yeah, sure, come on down. I'm like, all right. I drive down the 110 from fucking Chinatown back then when I used to live in Chinatown. I drove down the 110 to Gardena, showed up to her door, opened the door, and she just hugged me. And I just started crying. It's like one of those moments. Wow. And she was like, and then she knew. I mean, she fucking knew, you know, because it was always like people being like, Jenny, you should be doing this. But then I would not listen.
You had to.
But you guys know this.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. You guys must have had that experience.
Absolutely.
That experience is in a Reese Witherspoon movie in the 90s for sure.
Yes. Oh yeah. God. So anyway.
Yeah, you finally admit or actually internalize the thing that you wanted to do and don't feel like. But that also like imposter syndrome sets in. Yeah, that's why it makes
totally.
It yeah.
So anyway, long story short, that's when I was like, I took a UCB improv class. I took like a stand up comedy class, and that's it. I was
you didn't
like,
look back.
And no, not really. Yeah, I was like, this shit is dope. I don't have to like write a public testimony for the LA County Board of Supervisors for like fucking member leaders to represent an entire union. I could say what I want and represent myself. This is dope.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Damn.
You know?
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yeah. But that is also very cool, which I didn't know about you, like that background. That's super freaking like, that's tight. That's hardcore.
People, you know, I used to go to places where people snap at you, you know?
Yeah. Like,
hey. Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, Jenny, we are so happy that you were able to jump on today, do the podcast in the middle of your busy, busy, amazing life. I mean, because listen, how else are we going to say
it's
that?
A pretty dope life. It's a pretty dope, a pretty dope life. I have to admit.
Good. There it is. Hell yeah. And before we go, I want to make sure you let our audience know if there's anything coming out that they should be watching or looking out for. And also if you could let us know your handles where they can follow you.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love being online. I love chitting chatting. So follow me at Jenny Yang TV, JennyYang TV at Twitter or Instagram. And then if you want, you know, also go to comedycrossing.eventbrite.com for all of the upcoming monthly shows. Now we're still donating to Black Lives Matter causes. It's the first Fridays of the month. You know, we have people like Margaret Cho, Judah Friedlander, people puppeteering as little avatars of them while they do stand up. It's cute.
So cool.
It's like cute, you know?
You already had me and now I'm like, what?
No, it's super fun. It's like you're just watching this like main screen and then you have like a little corner screen of a performer on the side. And anyway, it's pure and I love it and I love you guys. And, you know, próxima vez vamos a hablar español, ¿sí?
Hey.
Like a perfect person has never been created before. I mean, now y'all see. Now y'all see what I see, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you see what I see?
I learned Spanish so I could talk to people, phone bank in Spanish to tell people to go vote. Wow. It's like, ¿podemos contar con su voto? You know, it's like all that.
Wow. I love it because you also got a little sass in it too, which, you know, you need that.
You have like a little fresa. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. I am obsessed with the fresa accent. Like, I watched when I would switch through like Telemundo or whatever, and then I would see the soap opera. And then this one time it was this very specific accent. I was like, why does she sound like a valley girl? And she's wearing pink and a side ponytail. I don't know. I forgot what the telenovela was, but I fucking watched it, even though I didn't understand every word. And I from then on, I was obsessed. I was like, someday I'm going to learn how to do a fresa fucking accent.
That's what they would call me when I first moved out to LA. And I literally, like, all the Mexican friends that, like, I made, like, working my, like, side hustles and stuff, they'd be like, ay, super fresa. And I was like, what is fresa? Like a strawberry? Oh, my God. I'm a little fruit, right? No, absolutely not. Until the one girl, the one real friend, came up to me and was like, yo, they're like that's making fun thing. Of you a little bit. But, like, it's like a cute way. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll take it. Whatever. But yes, fresa. Love it. Well, again, thank you so much, everybody. Make sure you follow Jenny on all the things. And you could follow us at Spanish Aquí Presents on IG and at Spanish Aquí on Twitter. You could follow me at Raisa Licea on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can follow me at, of course, it's Carlos on Instagram.
And you can follow me at Ozzymo, Z-Z-Y-M-O on Instagram and Twitter.
You can follow me at Lelocito, which would be my Animal Crossing avatar, if I ever played it. Am I doing this right? No, I'm at the Tony Roderick on IG and Twitter. And check out Spanish Arquee Presents on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Pandora, the SiriusXM app, or wherever you listen. And please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps more people find out about the show. Jenny, thank you so much.
Thank you.
My honor.
Dale.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.